हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनाभुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
From mantras 12 to 14, we understand that the material energy should be studied only in connection with the Lord. Mantra 15 explains that one should understand Bhagavan Shri Krishna as the master of both the material and spiritual energies. Mantra 16 continues the prayer of the devotee for the Lord to reveal his spiritual form. Mantra 4 is stated, one should know perfectly the personality of Godhead Shri Krishna and his transcendental name, form, qualities, and pastimes, as well as the temporary material creation with its temporary demigods, men, and animals. Okay, so here is being brought out is that you're knowing the Lord, so you're going deeper and deeper. One is you're taking, okay, here's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so he's the Lord of everything. So that means him, his creation. Then we're taking it a step further that, okay, now this is the devotional attitude in doing that. This is the non-devotional. Right? So then here we're bringing it to the level of the person means as Bhagavan. So here name, form, qualities, and pastimes. And then how that reflects into the material world. How does activities and pastimes and rasa happen in the material world? Because that's what's going on. But everything that's there is all the field of activities. Right? There's not something else here. Like, because they'll say, okay, I'm doing this here, and then there's demigods, and there's this, and there's that. But that's not a full understanding. Right? A full understanding is that I am here. Why am I here? Because of my desire. Why am I in this particular situation that I'm in? That's because of my karma. Right, my previous desires and activities have put me in this situation. So now, who is arranging that situation? Who's controlling that situation so that it would be there for me to act in according to my karma? That's the demigods. Right? They take care of everything in the creation to do that. Right? So that explains the demigods. Then, why these different things? So, I mean, why different situations? So, to be able to affect all these things, then you're going to have that will be carried out. The planets carry this out. So therefore you have the planets. There to do that, to understand that, they have to have directions. Right? Because of that their influence is affected. So you have to have the directions. Right? Then in this is that, okay, all that's all done, now a place, all of that has to happen at a place. So therefore you have plains, you have mountains, you have rivers, you have oceans, you have all different situations in which these, whatever situation you want, can be manifest. Does that make sense? So whatever there is, then of that, then it's going to have different levels of manifestation. So you have the 14 planetary systems. Does that make sense? The mentality will be more towards pious or more towards impious, so therefore you have the divine and the demoniac. Right? All this is then carried out, means it's being affected through the three modes. Does that make sense? You catch the idea? In other words, whatever there is in the creation is all to do with the situations that are required for the living entity to fulfill his material needs. So they're kshetra and kshetra gya, that's all there is. Right? So demigods, the directions, everything like this, the nakshatras, all those different things, these are all kshetra. So the living entity can then either identify also as kshetra, though he's claiming to be the controller and enjoyer. Or he can understand, I'm not this field, I'm not this body. Right? I'm not this false identity. And then he can become kshetra gya. Of course, only his kshetra. Krishna is the supreme kshetra gya because he knows all the kshetras. Right? In fact, he's the origin of them. Does this make sense? Yes. No, they're just holding a post. Basically, you could say maybe to some degree, not necessarily that they're known as that, but generally post holders generally are some form of neophyte devotee.
And they are ruling out activities?
Do you have a problem with that? Do you have a problem with that?
No, I'm asking, are they ruling?
They are creating the situations for you to receive the results of your previous activity.
Can we avoid this?
You have dropped a glass and it is very quickly spanning the distance between your hand and the floor. What can you do about it?
So we can't avoid.
What's the need to avoid? But, okay, that's the activity that's favorable towards devotion. We want to do an activity that's favorable towards devotion. Okay, but what about the devotion? You know what I'm saying? Doing activities that are favorable for devotion is one thing. Doing favorable devotional service is another thing. They can be the same, but in this instance, we're splitting it because you may be doing the favorable activity, but what's more important? You're cooking for the Lord, okay, but your mind, you're thinking about, you know, why did that person say that, and who are they to say this, and this is unfair and unjust, and the whole time you're cooking, that's all you're thinking. So would that have been a high-grade devotional activity?
But if we do this nine process, Shravana, Kirtana, Vishnu, Smarana, we engage our time, ability, energy, we engage in these activities, then how much left for the ruler of planets to manage our life?
You want to scratch your head. Who picks your arm up and puts it on top of your head? Do you do that? Does 1/10,000th the tip of the hair do that? You know what I'm saying? We have trouble picking up something the same size as us. Right? Could you turn around and one of these ladies next to you pick them up? Right? So now you take something that's 1/10,000th the tip of the hair. How does that pick your arm up? So who's picking it up for you?
Demigods?
Yeah, the demigods, through the planets, through the modes of nature, they're doing it.
But isn't it that our activities are ruled by our desire?
Yeah, but who's going to get it done? You can't get it done. Who's going to do it for you? The small child wants to eat. So how does the food happen? Because the parent arranges it. So what's the problem? The kid wanted to eat. So therefore, the parent arranged the food. It's not a problem.
So if we do desire to perform this nine devotional activities, process, demigods will support our activities according to our desire.
Why not? But it's according to your actual desire.
No, I mean actual.
Yeah. So the point is this. In the going back to the point we were making before, is you have an activity, So what's the most important element of it, the activity itself or the devotion with which you perform the activity?
Motive what we perform. Let's say we are conditioned here. You mentioned we want to be controller, we want to be enjoyer. So we are here. And now when we do understand what teachers and scriptures says, and we intentionally invest our time and ability in these activities. And process of purification taking place, it's not immediate.
Yes, but still, if you would answer more directly the question, I am cooking for Krishna, what's more important, the cooking itself or my attitude when I cook? What makes it the devotion? Yes, because the karma is cooking also, and he may cook with the same skill, may cook the same preparation, but it's not devotion, it's the attitude. Right? Therefore, whatever the situation, like you said, purification doesn't come immediately, but so whatever situation you're in that has come to you from your previous activities, as the results of your previous activities, the most important element is how you deal with that in connection with Krishna, not whether the situation or the activity is the most perfect form of expressing our devotion to Krishna. Does that make sense? So that's the whole idea, is that therefore it doesn't matter what the planets are doing. The planets are taking care of doing, the planets, the modes, everything of what we previously in the past have wanted to do. And they're arranging it according to our, how do you say, qualification. Right? And so devotion means what situation you're in, you use that for Krishna. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So whether it's coming from present, you know, means we've been performing very nice activities, so therefore we're getting very nice results now, and those are being engaged in Krishna service. Or in the past we haven't performed necessarily such nice activities, so we're not necessarily getting great results, but still those not great results, we're engaging in Krishna service. Does that make sense? In some way or another. That's the idea. That's why we don't technically have to worry about the planets and all these different things. You understand? They're not technically important when it comes to performance of devotional activity.
But the devotees, I see, very, very much paying attention. They consult astrologers and...
Depends what they're looking for. It's an individual thing. Prabhupada mentions it, that it's important when you're establishing a marriage, you're arranging a marriage, so you look at the charts to see that there's inherent compatibility. Right? Because what a marriage is based not on spiritual, you know, acumen. Right? It's not that one soul is marrying another soul. No. One gross and subtle body is marrying another gross and subtle body, so you want to make sure they match. Does that make sense? So, therefore it's useful. But other things for establishing the proper times to perform auspicious activities, that's actually what the science is for. Like that. So, but it gets used because people want to know their, you know, for whatever reason, you know, what is happening, going to happen, or what has happened. So then you have your interpretive sciences, which that's what's generally known what people deal in, astrology and all those things. But actually astronomy is the main science, and these are branches of astronomy. Because astronomy establishes, how do you know when Ekadasi is, right? Or Janmashtami, you know, that's astronomy. You know, how do you know what is the proper time to have a samskar? That's astronomy. That's the thing. So that's important. And the astrology, then depending upon the individual, then it may have its benefits or not. Is that okay?
Thank you.
connection?
Remember the two-hand method here. Otherwise, it's distracting if you're always. And there's all these bugs. Okay. Such transcendental realizations are possible only by Krishna's mercy. Therefore, the concluding prayers of Sri Ishopanishad teach the process of gaining the Lord's mercy by devotional prayers. Footnote 11. Baladeva Dibhushan writes in his commentary on Mantra 15, quote, after the guru delineates the form of Paramatma to the qualified disciple, the disciple engages in the selfless worship of the Lord to meet the Lord directly and then attains a liberated state. This has been described in the previous verses. But meeting the Lord directly is not possible just by Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana, etc. And liberation is not possible just by meeting the Lord. Only when obtains the mercy of the Lord can one attain the Lord. The concluding verses of the Upanishad show the method of praying for the Lord's mercy, so that one may obtain perception of the Lord through hearing and meditation, and so that one may attain liberation from the world through perceiving Him. Yeah, liberation from the world through perceiving Him. So one is seeing, how seeing the Lord in everything. So we come down to, is being brought out here that one must know the Lord, His name, form, quality, pastimes, the element of Bhagavan. Because it's by His mercy, absorption in the Lord and His mercy, that one is freed from material entanglement, right? And established in devotional service. Right? He is Mukunda. There's no one else can give liberation. No other demigod, no planet, no ritual, nothing. Only Krishna. So then that means then, as a person, we must know Krishna. And here, liberation, when we talk about it, we mean liberation mean being established in one's eternal relationship with Krishna. Because that liberation is permanent. Any other kind of liberation is temporary. Right? That makes sense? So, here then is only through knowing the Lord, by serving the Lord and praying to the Lord, gaining His mercy, then all these things are actually possible. Right? So in other words, we're trying to create a determination that this is what I want to do. I want to engage all my activities in the Lord's service. I want to be able to see the Lord in everything. I want to, you know, chant the pure name. I want to be able to develop my love for Krishna, you know, free myself from material entanglement, be established in my natural position of eternal servitor. So having that determination, I will engage in those activities. But to actually be able to be properly established in those and get the result is by the Lord's mercy. Does that make sense? We just say Lord's mercy, then, which is fine, it's the essence, essential point, but then we may just offer prayer and never do activity. Right? Please, you know, make me your pure servant, but not do anything that's service. Does that make sense? Therefore, one gains the Lord's mercy through devotional activities. And so therefore then prayer is counted as one of the devotional activities. So it makes it an activity. Does that make sense? Like that. So it... Perfect knowledge is to know Bhagavan Sri Krishna as the source of Brahman and Paramatma. Brahman is the effulgence coming out of His transcendental body, and Paramatma is His expansion. In Mantra 15, so everything goes going back to the person. So you understand the Brahman element of the material energy, you understand Paramatma, therefore whatever is there in your activities, you can connect to Krishna, right, through Brahman and Paramatma. But they are coming from Krishna. So the idea is getting out of the material world isn't good enough. We have to develop love for Bhagavan. So then everything must be seen in connection with Bhagavan. So that's why then the knowledge should continue until one knows that. Right? Like that, one's endeavor. And then by Krishna's mercy, realizing this, then one will be absorbed in the name, form, qualities, and pastimes. Right? In other words, we are making the endeavor to please Krishna. Him being pleased blesses us. That will always be engaged in His service. Right? So beginning we're doing it because this is what's good for us, it's the practice. Gaining the Lord's mercy, we're doing it because this is what we like to do. It comes natural. Does that make sense? So, okay. In mantra 15 and 16, the Lord is addressed as Pushan, or sustainer. The Lord pervades and supports the material creation with a single fragment of Himself, Bhagavad Gita 10:42. He maintains everyone, Eko Bahunam Yo Vidhati Kaman. But He still shows special mercy to His devotees. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Quote, I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. Bhagavad Gita 9:29. Okay. So here is, you have this special knowledge, the Pushan maintainer, is that that element, maintenance is done through action. Right? It's the most difficult of all the activities. Create, maintain, destroy. Maintenance is the most difficult. Because it requires the maximum amount of qualities. Right? So then... yeah. So then, as the maintainer, then we see that... all aspects are maintained. And as a devotee, then the most important element is the attitude. So that means what's being the most important element that's being maintained in the devotional life is the devotional mood. Does that make sense? The body, the other things, that's the easy part. Maintaining the mood, that's the more difficult part. Right? Yes.
Krishna says he maintains, he protects. Sometimes devotees think that if we have some injury or something like that, then he's not protecting us anymore.
Yes, if there's injury, then we don't, if he's not protecting us. That's because we're looking at the whole process as religion as opposed to devotion. Because from dharma comes artha. Right? So if I'm not getting artha, then there's something wrong with the dharma. That means there's something wrong. God's not doing what he should do. You know what I'm saying? Rather than you are getting the results of your previous activities and you're engaging whatever you have in Krishna's service and Krishna's reciprocating with that by freeing us from the material contamination and developing our love for Him. That's the essential point. Now, depending upon the individual, then the process of either taking away material facilities or giving material facilities will enhance that. So it's like this, if someone actually wants to become God conscious and they have great values in the element of facility, so then by taking up Krishna consciousness, then by giving them facility, they will have more faith in Krishna and the process. Some, by taking away their facility, then they start to see there's something wrong here. You know, I'm doing all this work and still nothing works. So there must be something more here because I need something that's not being provided by two hands. Two hands. Use both hands. So you get one of those sticks, you know, sadhus put on your hands. It works good. I've seen people use it. So then Krishna will then take away, then they'll take up Krishna consciousness. Then if necessity is to give them facility, then they become more inspired. Now, with time at performing devotional service, or even without time, if someone actually is not that sincere, they don't actually necessarily want to be involved in Krishna consciousness. Krishna can create a situation that is seemingly unfavorable. And then from that, one can lose one's faith and go away. Well, you know, because otherwise, how do you lose faith if everything's going okay? It's hard to. You know, it's really hard to break off a relationship if the person's nice. So either you have to make them be not nice in your own mind so that you can break off the relationship, or you have to, you know, find some fault, something you have to do, you know, to you know, even if it's something they haven't done for 10 years. 10 years ago you did this. But they'll find something that then they can break off the relationship. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So then, therefore, if they're doing everything nicely in Krishna consciousness and they're not getting a good material result, then you can find fault in Krishna and then go away. And because the whole process is voluntary, Krishna will make that arrangement. Because he says, I'm impartial. I envy no one, nor am I impartial to anyone. I am equal to all. So if you want to not like him and you want to go away, he's impartial. He's not envious. So that's what you want. Then he'll come to you in that form. It's still you and God. You know, oh, God is, you know, not just, not this, not that. But it's still you and God. That you want to see God is not just, so he'll come to you in that form. You know, so you don't get away from him, but you in your own mind can think he's not there and it's not happening. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we'll always have what we need.
We'll always have what we need, yes. Like that. Krishna's taking care of, so. But the point is that it's the endeavor that's important. You understand? That's what's not, is the endeavor that's been made. So if that's appreciated, that's more important than what has been done. Right? The meal has been cooked, so the meal is the result, is the fruit. So that's appreciated. But more important is the endeavor that went into cooking it, or arranging it, or serving it, or whatever is the elements that are there. And why that would be there. You know what I'm saying? So Krishna is looking at that. What is the mood? Why one is doing something? The endeavor is important because only through an action do you get a result. And if we're supposed to offer the results of all our action to Krishna, unless you've done an action, how do you get a result? Right? If you say body, mind, and words, means they're doing something. The body does something, the mind does something, the words are doing something. Right? Does that make sense? So, therefore then, one is engaged. Like that. Okay, matches. Here you're putting this hand, and he's on the other side putting this hand. So you got to put both hands, or no hands. Otherwise it would be out of balance. Otherwise, if you put, then we'll have to get someone else to balance. And it becomes very complicated. You can sit on them. You know. Is that okay? So, in other words, coming to the point of that Krishna is a person, and not just the one who gets something done. If he just is the one that gets something done, you're dealing with Paramatma. Right? You need something in the material world, it's arranged, that's Paramatma. Krishna's Bhagavan means the person you want to have that affection for. Does that make sense? So it's another stage. They're non-different technically, because it's Krishna, he comes as Paramatma to arrange everything. But as long as you see that, then you're dealing with Bhagavan. Right? Brahman is Krishna's, you know, effulgence. Paramatma is Krishna's expansion. Then, working with Brahman and Paramatma also then invokes the Bhagavan understanding, or the Bhagavan, how you say, vision. Does that make sense? Yeah. The Lord favors his devotees. He guides them and gives them the necessary knowledge to attain him. Thus the devotees are in a superior position compared to the jnanis and the yogis, who depend on their own limited strength. Quote, To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they come to me. To show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. Bhagavad Gita 10:10. Bhagavad Gita 10:10-11. But those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. Bhagavad Gita 9:22. My dear Uddhava, the unalloyed devotional service rendered to me by my devotees brings me under their control. I cannot be thus controlled by those engaged in mystic yoga, Shankya philosophy, pious work, Vedic study, austerity, or renunciation. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:14-20. So we see is Krishna is very involved actually in the life of the devotee. It's just a matter of whether the devotee is taking advantage of that. Okay, so now you two men. It works. Just watch your head on the bricks. Wrapped around your heads. So here is that it brings Krishna under control. So the point is if you're controlled by Krishna, you're in other words, what you do is under is how you say? Based on the principle of affection for Krishna. That you're doing it because it pleases him. Right? Then he comes under your control. Right? So that's the natural relationship between the devotee and the Lord. Right? But if you're not controlled by Krishna, then how much is he's independent? How much you will be in control of him? Not much. It's something you'd like to do. But control is only based on relationship. Right? Unless you have that relationship with Krishna, you can't control him. Does that make sense? So the whole point is that Krishna is taking care. It says here, worship with exclusive devotion. Right? Meditating on my transcendental form. So they have the exclusive devotion. So then we also can see, in general that's there, but exclusive devotion, so it's not distracted by anartas. Meditating on my transcendental form. So name form, you've got to the form. Then that will be nishta. Right, because name is your general process. That's your process. Form will be nishta. Qualities will be ruchi, because you get taste from qualities. Asakti will be. I think that would take it further. Meditating on transcendental form. So basically, it's like that. We have to check. I think that's coming up in the Shikshasa. The point is that he's fixed in devotional service, and he is absorbed in Krishna. For that person, that devotee, Krishna, what they lack, then Krishna makes up for. What they have, he preserves. Because the mood is sincere. The mood is they want to please Krishna. So there may be an occasional distraction, but to Krishna it doesn't really matter. To others it might, but to Krishna it doesn't really matter. Right? So, yeah. Okay. Does this make sense?
The one like this, when we are fixed on the name, on the form, it goes by the level of the
kind of, it's one of the aspects, yes. Because otherwise, how can you be absorbed? Right? It means in Bhajana Kriya, means you're not really focused. So the name is there, but you're not even hearing. Right? So in that way, then you could put it, the name goes there, is name is there, but then when it becomes anit, it becomes nishta, means you have anishta bhajana kriya. When it becomes nishta bhajana kriya, then one is situated properly in chanting the holy name. Right? So it's a neutral state. Then when one becomes attracted to the form, right? Then one, that there, because there's a taste, because there's qualities there. Right? So then from that come the qualities, because the qualities are the basis of the pastimes. So then the attachment is based on, you know, established there. Then that brings one to pastimes, where one then is established in Bhava Bhakti, where one is absorbed in those pastimes. So you have that element. You can have that element happening anyway on these other levels. But it's just naturally they're there, just like faith is always there, or taste is always there. It's just a matter of what's the prominent element. It's called ruchi because that's the prominent experience of the devotee. But when he first joins the temple, he has an experience that is favorite. He likes, he has a taste to be in the association of devotees and take prasad and do kirtan and hear the philosophy and read and do some service. And that's why he takes it up. But that's not the prominent element. The prominent element is the faith of the sadhusanga or the bhajana kriya. You understand? Like that. So there's always that element. The words asau purusha so hamasmi. Oh, okay. It's funny. You don't put it in the thing, you don't see the thing, you don't have it. Asau purusha so hamasmi. There's something before asau. From mantra 16, do not imply that the living entity and the Supreme Lord are identical in all respects. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur translates mantra 16, reads as follows. Right? Because you're establishing, asa purusha soham asmi, I am also like that. Yeah? Like that, because you have this thing, soham. That becomes a very important, what they call mahavakya, means great. Vakya is like statement or pronouncement. The great pronouncement is so aham. You know, I am that. Like that. So then, here, because we have this here in the Upanishad, that the impersonalists can take it this way. That's why they can be very much absorbed in Ishupanishad. Because they think, I am that Supreme Person. I am that Purusha. Which is funny. Why would they want to be Purusha, which is a person or a man, when they say there is no form and there is no thing, but they're happy to be him, like that. You know, once they are him, then they can say everything else is Maya. So it's a little inconsistent. So to make sure that it's understood that it doesn't mean that here, or how it is meant, then he is now explaining. O Pushan, Ekarshi, Surya, Prajapatya, remove your rays, restrict your light. Then I can see your most auspicious form. I am qualified to see that form because you, the complete person and Paramatma, your portion in the material world, and we jivas also are all spiritual by nature. If you are merciful, I can see you. Right. So then he's taking, so this is confirmed by Vedanta Deshika, who writes in his commentary. Some claim that the sentences tattvamasi and sohamasmi teach the concept of only one Brahman with no qualities. By destroying the false illusory forms of cause, Ishwara, and effect, Jiva. However, like a knife, the word asmi destroys this concept because it indicates the state of my existing, even after the realization. Since the concept of you and I are supposed to be rejected by the hearer, Tvam, and seeker of Brahman, Aham, in these two sentences, according to the proponents of this philosophy, there can be no one who is enlightened by the state of Tomasi, your existing, and there can be no one seeing Brahman by the state of Aham, Asmi, existing. Thus the statement would be useless. So you have Tvamasi and Aham Asmi. So there's you means if it is true that there is no creator and created, that it's all one, then you couldn't have you and I. Right? So the point is here they're claiming that this tattvamasi or soham asmi, the tvam asi and aham asmi, that these elements are there at the point of realization. I understand, I'm realized, aham asmi, right? You can't have that because that's still defining that you are you and that is that. You understand? If I say that there is no Lord and no living entity, and the Lord is the tvam, and the living entity is the aham, right? So when you become realized, this would disappear. So if it disappears, how can you say tattvamasi or sohamasmi? Right? So if you're saying that, then by their philosophy, that means you're not realized. Right? So the point is then in the statement is how I can be that, because that means I am that. But they're saying this is the platform of realization. But you can't have that on the platform of realization because according to their philosophy, it's all one. Does that make sense? So they're contradicting themselves by saying this. Like that. They could say one will come to this, to understanding that all is one, but to say I become that, how can you become that? Because then they're saying that there is an I and there is a that, and I become that. But if they're actual Brahmavadis, there is no I and there is no that, it's all just Brahman. So they wouldn't use these statements. Right? They wouldn't use soham asmi, because there wouldn't be an I. It's illusory that there is anyway, so why would I talk about it on the platform of realization? Why would I even say I am that? No, it's all one. Does that make sense? So they contradict themselves. So these are their Mahavakyas on which their philosophy is based. So in this way then Vedanta Deshika shows that therefore their philosophy doesn't actually have a standing, because the Shastra quotes it's based upon don't support their philosophy. It supports another understanding. In other words, their understanding doesn't have any Shastric basis. Does that make sense? So it's just to make it very clear that the Sohamasmi here is not the same that the impersonalists try to use. Same thing. Yes?
So what does that statement actually mean?
Means there is the element of, I think that's, didn't we go through that? There was some place where this is being described, wasn't it?
In the perspective of the
Vedas,
in
the Vedas, presented
according to
the Charles. Okay. That, general would be is that there's, that means it's like gold in the gold mine. Or a drop of water has the same qualities as the ocean itself. You know, or we are eternal, he is eternal, but he's the supreme eternal. He takes care of all the individual eternals. In that way, then there's a oneness. But at the same time, as to say, I am that, means that there's two. So in the context that there's two, there's a oneness. Yes, oneness in quality, but not in quantity. Like that. So that's there. So one always has to see is that based on that of two, then there this point is being made. So therefore, if two are there, then the only oneness that can be there is quality. It can't be identity. Because otherwise, why would you say I and you? Or I and that? You know what I'm saying? Because you're already establishing this two. Then having established this two, now then you're saying that I am that. You know what I'm saying? So this would mean it has to be qualities. It's not like saying, they think one person wrote them a letter and then you're standing there talking to them. No, but you say, I am the person who wrote that letter. But it's the same identity. So that's different. But here is, I am that, then, because that is different than I, then we have to conclude that it's based on qualities.
So basically no preacher of Mayavada philosophy is ever realized.
No preacher of Mayavada is ever realized, yes, that's correct. Because Lord Shiva is a Vaishnav. You know, so he's realized, but because of Vaishnavism. He did that to trick the people. See, people were Buddhists, so they don't believe in the Vedas, so that's a big problem. Because if you want to establish Vaishnavism, you have to have the Vedas. Now, they believe that there is nothing. So you can adjust that nothing into there's something, but that's just the mind. Right? But because it's I am trying to extinguish my existence, and having extinguished it, then I am successful. You understand? There's still the basic bogus foundation. So then you have to make something that would be supported by the Vedas, because the void is not supported by the Veda. There's no such thing as a void. There's always something. Even if you say nothing's there, space is there. So it's an energy of the Lord. So then you can't have that. So then you give the Mayavad philosophy, then it is based on Vedic principles, lifestyle, shastras, processes, everything. But it still is Buddhist philosophy. Technically. So we call them impersonalists, but technically they're Buddhists. You know, it's a slight transformation of it. Does that make sense? So they're not real impersonalists. Because real impersonalists, there's no need to preach, because everything's one anyway. They are already Brahman, whether they understand it or not. So Brahman's already happening. So since your goal is Brahman, it's already going on. You know what I'm saying? So, but, you know, there can be variety in Brahman, but it's still Brahman. Well, they're saying there's no variety. So where is there such a thing as no variety? Where is there no qualities or no forms? Or that there doesn't exist such a place. So that is bogus. But everything is Brahman, that's bona fide. Krishna's Brahman, internal potency is Brahman, the jivas are Brahman, the material energy is Brahman. It's all Brahman. So that's bona fide. But it's only the basic stage of spiritual understanding. While Mayavada is just bogus. You know, that means they'll study Shastra, they'll do pious activities in that way. They will be absorbed in the austerity and other things that are beneficial. But as still as far as getting liberation and all that, that won't happen. Does that make sense?
What is the technical difference between Mayavada and Brahmavada?
I thought we just explained it. What didn't you understand what we explained? What is the point of technicality that wasn't explained?
Mayavada preaches and Brahmavada is realized.
No. A Brahmavada is on the Brahman platform and a Mayavada is in Maya. Because they say everything's illusion, but everything is not illusion. There is illusion, but to say that God and the Jiva are illusion, that's an illusion. So they're in Maya.
Why would one become this?
Why would one become this?
It is natural to be the Lord.
That's a question you would have to ask each individual. But the difficulty is that the soul is naturally a devotee, but the soul has developed a mentality to become the controller and enjoyer. That's not devotional.
Are they, impersonalists, are they really these Mayavadis, what they say, which are the illusion? Are they trying to control something, or they are just rejecting material?
They reject material, but they, how do they greet each other?
I don't know.
Namo Narayana. I offer my respect to Narayana. So they're all, everybody's Narayana. Everyone's God.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, you know, like we'll say, you know, Jai Radhe or Jai Nitai, they'll say Namo Narayana. So they have issues. You know. They have some serious, they call it, not, it means in the anartha category, misgivings. Like that. Is that okay? Okay. Okay. Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. You can not sit on your hands or chant. I wonder if I have one of those sticks you can borrow. It, as long as you put it back every time. Don't drool on it. No, should I arrange it? No? It's nothing. You get a cane like that and just cut it off. That's the same as what we were saying. The acceptance of the Ishwara Jiva, then, they just look, everything's fine. My body is so that means they don't accept it. That's four. It's the same thing.
Because I thought Prabhupada is accepted that Krishna's name follows such a return and that's why they accept.
Yes, but they just see it all as Brahman. They don't know that there is a Bhagavan or understanding. It's not that they say Brahman the realization is higher than Bhagavan. They don't know Bhagavan realization. So whenever they see anything, it's all Brahman. So it doesn't matter. They're not worried about the Brahman.
There
is no Maya. It's all Brahman. Maya is thinking that things are Brahman.
Naomi explains
the fact. So they're fixed realization that everything is Brahman. Not just Maya, but she has a fixed problem.
Maya, and, but there is Brahman. But the problem is even in defining Brahman, he still has to do that.
Because him, you see, when someone referred to
him, but it's still true. No, it's just emerging from Brahman. They're not Brahman. They're impersonal, you know, and that they don't accept the form of the Lord. You can say one sense of Brahma is because they say everything is Brahma, but they don't understand it the same way Brahma. And one is the novice jyoti, and the other stays in the material world. He says they don't have the knowledge. So they say Krishna has one form, then why would they have one?
Pardon?
We'll say that, but no, we use also Mayavadi to just be the person we study.
Not just a follower of Shankaracharya.
No, so like that, it becomes just like in India, two or three, if you want to buy, you know, the blue detergent for washing your clothes, it's called surf. It doesn't matter what company it is, it's called surf. Right? But it's actually, you know, serving my brain.
And did everybody hold?
I have this donation.
Anybody who comes to
yeah, thank you.
Can I keep it?